Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Polysports, part of Global Patriot Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome everyone here. As I said, I am Hank Jones. Mrs. Hank is in the house here with authority. Love to hear from you, everyone, today. You can listen in, obviously, 319-527-6706. You can also, of course, listen in by logging into Blog Talk Radio and finding us under the live programs. We are under Global Patriot Radio. If you ever want to reach out, I am always reachable by email, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. You can reach out on Facebook. Just look for Hank Jones Polysports. You can look for me on Twitter, @hpolysports. All those ways that you can interact. But, of course, calling in would be really cool if you really wanted to talk. You could talk about whatever, as long as it has to do with politics or sports and is of interest to me, naturally. I'm not the only show here. Every Monday, Vito and Big Al, the Vito Esposito Show, Mamma Mia No Sharia. Tuesdays, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. Me on Wednesday, Thursdays, Paul Sutliff, or the deplorable Paul Sutliff, with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, well, that's Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday, a.k.a. Islam in Focus. Saturday nights, Minister Usama Daktuk and the beautiful Christie, revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sunday, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. That's one where you kind of got to, well, you got to download an app and load an app properly, et cetera. He doesn't want free-for-all because they tried it. It didn't work well. People got a little nasty with their language and their attitude and other stuff that's really not fit for mature discussion. Let's put it that way. Well, let's see what we've got. We've got some recent deaths this week. George Young, the model for the Johnny Depp character in the movie Blow, passed away today at the age of 78. Probably not a great loss. Fraser Glenn Miller Jr. passed away in prison Monday at the age of 80. He was the terrorist responsible for the shooting at the Overland Park, Kansas Jewish Community Center in 2014. Now, he languished in prison since 2015 after being sentenced to death. And now he is off our dime. Hopefully, anyway. Former NASCAR Xfinity driver Eric McClure passed away Sunday. He was 42. He'd had a troubled last couple of years, including some domestic violence charges. No cause given, but he did have some troubled years there. Also Sunday, Bobby Unser, three-time Indy 500 winner. He was 87. Now, he was the first driver and remains one of just two. It's won the Indy 500 in three separate decades, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. His last big famous thing, if you want to call it that, was in 1996. Remember, he and a friend were out snowmobiling, and they got lost in a storm, had to hole up for several days before they were discovered. He was fined $75, believe it or not, for unlawful operation of a snowmobile on federal lands. Seriously, he was fined $75. And then he appealed it all the way to the Supreme Court. Almost as ludicrous. Oscar-winning actress Olympia Dukakis passed away last Saturday. She was 89. She is the one who made the tag end of her acceptance speech. Remember, she won Best Supporting Actress for Moonstruck. She made it a campaign promo for her cousin Michael Dukakis. Remember, he was running for president against George H.W. Bush. Newsflash here on this one. Dukakis wearing that army helmet while riding a tank, that should have DQ'd him on the spot, really. I guess you could say that year severely cheapened both the Oscars and our presidential scene, or at least it cheapened it for me anyway. Jack Struck passed away. He was a Dutch criminal. He used his shrimp business to front for the country's largest hash operation. Now, he was 80, man. The death was announced on May 1st, but man, who knows when it actually happened. I say that because he was into weed, obviously. If you remember the scene in Pulp Fiction, between Vincent Vega and Jules Winfield. They discussed the scenario and various facets of the law for weed when in Amsterdam, which is probably why Travolta's Vincent Vega character was intimately familiar with the local name for a quarter pounder with cheese, a.k.a. Royale with cheese. That was because of the metric system. They apparently didn't know what the hell a quarter pound is, apparently. By the way, that would be 113.3981 grams. So why not call it a 113? Or frankly, why not call it a 114? Since the cheese version would presumably be heavier than the non-cheese version. All other ingredients being equal, of course. Okay, this is how I know I'm getting old. And yet, in a sense, I guess I'm not that old. Last Thursday, we lost Johnny Crawford at the age of 75. The cause was attributed to complications of Alzheimer's disease, which, by the way, is a horrible experience, both for the afflicted and the caregivers and survivors. Do you all know who Johnny Crawford was? Well, for those of you who do not know, Johnny Crawford played the kid on The Rifleman. Mark McCain, remember, he was the son of Chuck Connors' character, Lucas McCain. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I think of him as a contemporary. Obviously, that show was reruns by the time I was watching it, but still. Now, that same day, we also lost Billy Hayes of natural causes at the age of 96. Anyone remember who she was? Brace yourselves, folks. Billy Hayes played Witchy Poo on H.R. Puffin Stuff. Yeah, one of the all-time great Saturday morning kiddie shows. I remember that show. Remember the flute? There was just this flute. It was called Freddy. It was just a flute that floated around or whatever. I guess the Jack Wild character carried him around or something. I don't remember enough. But eating my Count Chocula and watching H.R. Puffin Stuff. Good times. That was before I'd ever tried weed, so I was just eating Count Chocula because it was good. Now, President Trump has formally endorsed the idea of a New York GOP Representative Elise Stefanik replacing Liz Cheney in the House GOP leadership. Liz Cheney is currently serves as the House GOP conference chair. That's the third ranking Republican in the House. Her continued disparagement of the president's leadership, not to mention her vote to impeach the president, along with her continued contention that the election was free of fraud. That's been a point of contention. And I'll tell you, the fist bump with Dopey Joe at his quote-unquote speech to Congress last week, that didn't help her position. So far, there are at least two candidates who will run against her in the 2002 primary in Wyoming for Congress. Yeah, Hawkeye Mike just messaged me. Who can forget Charles Nelson Reilly? Was he on H.R. Puffin Stuff? I thought he was on Lidsville. I didn't think he was on H.R. Puffin Stuff. Anyway, Liz Cheney, she doesn't want to – Steve Scalise, the House Minority Whip, said that she doesn't even seem to want to focus on regaining a GOP majority in the House in 2022. And while she maintained her position in February – in a February vote, she faces stiffer opposition now. So, again, the Dopey Joe fist bump was not a good optic on that one. Facebook's review board, speaking of President Trump, they have upheld their suspension pending further review. Seriously, guys, gals, and transies, what's to review? And why pretend? Frankly, given the fact checks that I have received lately, it's pretty much become laughable as anything other than entertainment. I mean, if that site didn't have Candy Crush, I'd probably bounce out of there anyway. Federal prosecutors are asking for appointment of a special master to look over records seized from the raid at the residence of Rudolph Giuliani last week. In other words, they had no specific warrant, obviously, or they just want a sanctioned fishing expedition. Already, several news outlets, including CNN, well, actually, CNN had to call out the other ones, but several news outlets, ones I will not dignify by naming, by the way, they've had to backtrack and retract on reports of the raid. CNN had to call them out on it. That's scary. At issue, in part, is the fact that much of what they seized is protected by attorney-client privilege. So a special master would be tasked with redacting any such materials. Again, in other words, this was an illegal raid. What makes it worse even beyond the intentional misinformation in the reporting, is that Giuliani was already cooperating with the FBI and other law enforcement agencies. Worse still, they appear to have no interest in the Hunter Biden laptop information, according to several sources. Frankly, you know what? This just further illustrates how corrupt and partisan and, frankly, devoid of any credibility the FBI has become. Frankly, should the Republicans regain control of both houses of Congress in 2022, they should, in addition to immediately impeaching Dopey Joe just because. No, really, they should demand an accountability and a complete review of the FBI, as in a complete overhaul, as in reviewing the hiring and performance of every single damn person in that agency, and then from there, go to the CIA and do the same thing. Seriously. The attorney for Derek Chauvin, one Eric Nelson, has filed a motion for new trial. Well, I don't know, a couple of interesting things here. First, I think Derek Chauvin was guilty of at least the manslaughter. I can even buy, as I said, the third-degree murder. I actually give Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison credit for not seeking first-degree murder. He, in his own words, saw no way to reach the standard for first-degree murder in the state of Minnesota, or that it could be legitimately argued. I give him credit for that. And guess what? They may still end up blowing this thing. Forget Maxine Waters. Oh, wait, don't, because of this. When she went and made her speech inciting unlawful behavior in the event the verdict wasn't, quote, right, the jury wasn't even sequestered. Great move, Judge Cahill. Anyway, by the way, Judge Cahill all but admitted that even though he wasn't granting a mistrial, that her remarks were definitely in line for appeal issues. Oh, and now we find out that one juror, the only juror or the first juror that's ID'd himself, in fact, he lied when he said he had never attended any rally on behalf of George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, or other racial justice rallies or rallies where Floyd family members had appeared. Now, he's claiming that the rally he attended, that featured, by the way, Black Lives Matter clothing, speeches by several Floyd family members, and Antifa flags, he said it was, get this, he said it was a get-out-the-vote rally. Seriously, man, Keith Ellison, after actually doing things by the book, could have this case tanked by the very people he was trying to serve. Now, mind you, I don't really feel sorry for Keith Ellison personally, as I think he's normally as bad and unlawful as the crowd he runs with. But to have that same crowd tank your case, man, that has to suck. And look, I'm not saying I want it tanked. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there is legitimate grounds for appeal or overturning or new trial. That's out there. And Keith Ellison himself did nothing wrong. Now, maybe he probably knew Maxine Waters was coming to town, so he probably should have told her, hey, this is not a good time. The jury's not sequestered. She should have been told that. She should have known that. Of course, she showed up after requesting armed guards and then goes back and is trying to take away our Second Amendment rights, but forget that. But all that, and Keith Ellison, he did everything he should have by the book, and the tank's, you know, it's going to tank because of that. T. Bodie, who's in the chat room, points out that alone probably will get a new trial. T. Bodie's on the phones, too. I like how he does that. He goes back and forth so that he gets full access. Hawkeye Mike's in the phone room as well, as is Big Sister. Don't know where Brother Tommy is this week. He must feel put out by he says he felt bad later. He told me he felt bad for all the F-bombs he dropped last week, but hey, it's free country, and this is not AM or FM radio. Hey, a Texas Democrat leader has resigned in the wake of his rather disgusting comments about South Carolina Republican Senator Tim Scott. Remember, Tim Scott gave that awesome rebuttal to Dopey Joe's ramblings to Congress last week? Lamar County Democrat Party Chair Gary O'Connor resigned after tweets he made were called out by folks on both sides, even in big media. Here's one of the things that this clown tweeted. I had hoped that Scott might show some common sense, but it seems clear he is little more than an Oreo with no real principles. He actually tweeted that. Sad thing is, while Texas Democrats called for him to step down, nationally, Dems have been silent on other comments. Ones like Uncle Tim, which is an obvious play on the term Uncle Tom. Okay, look, on one hand, it's inconceivable that the party who claims moral superiority in all things racial or diversity related would even have this occurring within the party. Then again, when you understand that these people are neither moral nor all that concerned with diversity or equality, you get a clear picture of why this stuff happens when it does. And the fact is, it's not that uncommon within Big Left. It wasn't uncommon within Nazi Germany, believe it or not. Now, Hitler and his ilk often claimed to be for the people. They were anything but that, of course, just as Big Left is anything but inclusive or tolerant or unifying. Governor Ron DeSantis, in a display of actual sanity and balls, he has suspended local emergency-related COVID-related orders and has also banned vaccine passports. The bill he signed, which was passed last month, gives DeSantis the ability to suspend local COVID-19 emergency orders. The ban on vaccine passports comes with a $5,000 fine for each violation. The bill becomes effective July 1st. Now, DeSantis noted that proponents of continued lockdowns and mask mandates are saying, in effect, that they aren't confident in the vaccine, in the data, or in the science. He also said that while businesses may continue to implement safety measures in order to protect themselves, their employees, and their customers, the bill does eliminate emergency orders and penalties levied against businesses and individuals. Oddly enough, the ACLU is also against vaccine passports. Now, I'm sure they'll get whipped into proper goose step before long, but as of now, they are against vaccine passports as well. Let's hit some sports news. By now, most of us have heard about Lenny's Pub. That is a Cincinnati bar that banned NBA games until LeJuan James was expelled by the league. LeJuan, for his part, got all snarky, saying he was on his way there with others to watch the Lakers game and have a drink. This is in response to LeJuan's tweet, remember, that threatened a Columbus, Ohio police officer who had saved two teens from a knife attack by a third teen. The knife-wielding teen was, upon her death, sainted by the local community, of course, with everything from being a victimized foster child to a misunderstood kid who wasn't violent or meant any harm, literally. LeJuan, remember, then he tweeted a photo of the police officer with the words, "You're next. Hashtag accountability." Now, the tweet was removed within a day. And although LeJuan has tried in part to walk it back, most people with a brain and any semblance of logical thought understood he was speaking without knowledge of the event, really, and was simply using the event to cause further disunity. In any event, Lenny's Pub has been doing great since the ban. There's been positive and negative feedback, naturally, but the positive has far outweighed the negative. Local businesses are also supporting Lenny's, both with signs and on social media. A local gas station thanked LeJuan, said that due to publicity, Lenny's has never been better. Now maybe if Atlanta businesses took note, they could band together, you know, stand up for themselves in light of that baseball organization that moved its big midseason event from Atlanta to a city that is approximately 1 mile above sea level. Minor league changes are afoot. I want to thank Sue from New Mexico for giving me this. Minor league changes are afoot. Several changes. Now, first of all, minor league was contracted. It was cut down to, I believe, 40 teams, something like that. There are... You know, I don't know. I'm not sure how to go over these because I got the tweet today from Sue from New Mexico, and it talks. There's all kinds of changes, and Major League or Minor League Baseball is now divided into four subgroups, if you will. A, Super A, Double A, and Triple A, or something like that. They are then, depending on, it's not happening at each level. It's happening, they're testing it sort of in different levels. For instance, in one of the levels, they're going to automated ball and strike calls. Now, it doesn't mean there won't be a home plate umpire. There will be a home plate umpire. But an automated system will then call balls and strikes and put it in the umpire's ear in his headphones. The umpire will then announce the call. Weird. Very weird. They are, in one of the levels, they are changing the size of the base from 15 inches square to 18 inches square. Now, supposedly what this will do is shorten the base paths by a whole 1.5 inches, by a whole 3 inches, I guess, when you consider 1.5 inches on either side, and will make for more, you know, beat out singles on infield hits, more stolen bases. I don't know how that's going to make that much different. I just don't. Like they said, in one league, the mound is going from 60 feet 6 inches to 61 feet 6 inches. Huh? Again, please explain. Now, look, it actually said in the explanation that would make for a 1/100th of a second advantage to the batter now. Really? I mean, somebody said, Vito and I were talking about it, he said, you know, so a guy that's throwing 100 miles an hour, is only his pitch is going to be effectively 98. If you're throwing that fast and you're still in minor league ball, there's a problem. Anyway, I'd be like a guy with a 50-inch vertical who shoots 50% from three, not being able to get past the G League. Well, I guess if you played defense like Iowa's Jordan Bohannon, that would be grounds. So I guess we'll call it that. So anyway, yeah, so there are these changes at the minor league level. Infielders. Now, you know, sometimes there's a shift. So you have the first baseman and the shortstop on one side of second base and the third baseman and shortstop and the first baseman and second baseman on another side of second base. Sometimes the second baseman or the shortstop will switch. Will shift, playing behind second base or even on the other side of it from where they normally line up or they would normally be. That's going to be prohibited. In addition, infielders will be required to be on the dirt. Can't play back on the outfield grass, cannot play on the infield grass before the pitch. They also can't jump before the pitch. Their feet have to be grounded. Explaining some of this to me, and I really don't get it. But in one case, infield it would force the infield to play in certain situations. I don't lack the baseball knowledge to understand it anymore. It's just weird. So these changes are coming to minor league baseball. Now, since I am talking about minor league baseball, this does not violate my ban on discussing Major League Baseball. Just saying. Okay, moving on. The NFL draft took place last weekend. In addition to Iowa's Chauncey Golston going before Davion Nixon, and despite Justin Fields dropping to the Bears on a major bargain at pick number 11, the woke mob still found time to call out two white quarterbacks. Evidently, one supported President Trump on various social media. The other did that and also apparently liked other GOP candidates. Yeah. ESPN's Max Kellerman, meanwhile, lamented all the white quarterbacks being drafted. He seemed to think that maybe the criteria for evaluating players isn't perfect. Really, Max? Wow, that's insightful. Let's quickly recap. I don't want to go through the whole draft with you, obviously, but let's quickly recap. Number one was going to the Ravens, or I'm sorry, to the Jaguars was Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. Number two to the Jets, Zach Wilson from BYU, one of the woke mob victims, so to speak. Number three, Trey Lance went to the 49ers out of North Dakota State. He's the guy that played one game last fall in their only game in the fall and then hung it up for the draft. Yeah, he went third. Number four, Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida, went to the Ravens. Jamar Chase from LSU, wide receiver, went to the Bengals at 5. Jalen Waddle from Alabama went to the Dolphins at 6. He went ahead of Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith. Penei Sewell from Oregon, offensive tackle, went number 7 to the Lions. By the way, Kyle Pitts is the highest pick for a tight end. There had been a couple chosen at 5, but he is the highest pick. There's never been a tight end picked at 4. Number 7, Penei Sewell from Oregon, went to the Lions at 7. J.C. Horn, cornerback out of South Carolina, went 8th. Pat Surtain, cornerback out of Bama, went 9th. Devontae Smith, as I said, from a wide receiver from Bama, the Heisman Trophy winner, went 10th. Now, here's a weird thing. Justin Fields, all through last season, it was Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. Fields dropped to 11th. Now, most people are saying it was, you know, it's racial. I don't care because as a Bears fan, I love this pick. There is no knock on his height. You know, you could have made that on a Troy Smith or even a JT Barrett, but not on a Justin Fields. Can't pick a pick on his speed. So, yeah, he got great pickup for the Bears. Micah Parsons from Penn State went 12th. He opted out of last season. Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern went 13th, offensive tackle. Elijah Vera Tucker, a guard out of USC, went 14. Mac Jones, quarterback from Alabama, the other woke mob target, went 15th to the Patriots. Zaven Collins of Tulsa went 16th. Other interesting ones. Quiddy Pay from Michigan at the 21st. Najee Harris from Alabama. The Steelers got a great pickup there, running back out of Alabama. Travis Etienne from Clemson went 25th. Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. Now, he opted out of half the season. He came back. He opted out. Then he came back when they reinstated Big Ten football. And then he quit halfway through the season. And for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't like that pick just because I think the Ravens picked him. I think, you know, the guy quit in midseason. I don't see that. I don't see why those guys got those kind of picks. Rondale Moore, a Purdue guy, he sort of opted out, then he came back, but he never really played much because he was injured most of the season. He went in the second round to the Cardinals. Let's see other ones. Like I said, the one that shocked me as a Hawkeye fan was Davion Nixon out of Iowa. Cause he was at one point, he was like on the 10th on Kuiper's big board. He was then thought to be a second round pick. He ended up falling to the 5th round. I don't know how that happened. Hey, welcome Sue to the chat or to the phone room. Sue, as I said, sent me the stuff about minor league baseball. Sorry you had to miss that, Sue. I talked about it. Talked about it with Vito today. Didn't understand a lot of it. So, welcome, Sue. No, I just don't understand some of the, I don't understand Davion Nixon dropping as far as he did. I really don't. Some people said character issues. I don't know. I just don't. He should have stayed, but I'm not sure there was much. Hawkeye Mike said he should have stayed. I'm not sure there was much he could really prove at this point. Hawkeye Mike also pointed out C.J. Frederick. We talked about him last week and the week before maybe. He the one who announced, the Hawkeye who announced that he was entering the transfer portal. There had been talk on Kentucky message boards and in Kentucky media, University of Kentucky, that including his uncle, that he was headed there. And for all concerned, when that happens, the school is not supposed to enter into anything. They're not supposed to reach out. Anyway, he just announced that he is heading to the University of Kentucky. As Hawkeye Mike says, I smell a rat. I think you're going to find out. I don't think Coach Fran McCaffrey is going to level any kind of tampering allegations against Kentucky. What's the point? He should, but he won't. I just don't see it. But, yeah, what a shock. He's going to Kentucky. Speaking of Kentucky, Kentucky Derby went off on time last Saturday, and it also went off at the right time of year as well. Medina Spirit horse went off at 12-1, scored an upset of sorts. Bear in mind, this horse has never finished below second, but was not picked to win. Went off at 12-1, scored an upset, followed by Mandaloon, who went off at 15-1. Hot Rod Charlie at 8-1, and then the favorite, Essential Quality, went off at 2-1, finished fourth. So if you picked Essential Quality at fourth in a superfecta, speaking of superfectas, I'm looking at some superior posterior stuff right now. But if you picked Essential Quality fourth in a superfecta, you could have made some money. Remember Brother Tommy was on last week dropping F-bombs and talking about how to bet. And so Essential Quality went off. Finished, you know, at 2-1, finished fourth. Gave trainer Medina Spirit gave trainer Bob Baffert a record seventh win in the Kentucky Derby. Oddly, just 2 weeks after the Arkansas Racing Commission voted not to suspend him over some positive drug tests last year. No, not him. A couple of horses. Yeah. So there was that. I didn't say that. I probably didn't tell anyone this. I mean, we're going a short show tonight because we got some stuff coming up. Me and Mrs. Hank. She'll know by 7 p.m., but by then I need to be getting ready before that. But so I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a little music for you, and we'll come back. I'm going to talk about Dopey Joe, some of his antics. I'm going to talk about a nice editorial from Mike Huckabee. And then I'm going to talk about a future feature I'm going to get going here on the show. It's what I want people to talk about. I'm giving you a lead time. I want you to submit suggestions to me. Because I think it's kind of an interesting feature that I want to talk about. It's related to some post-COVID stuff. And then we're going to, of course, finish with some ranting and some laughy from Twitter and whatnot. Some good laughy stuff. It's actually good laughy. I'm serious. Relax a bit. Finish up or fill up that coffee. If you're drinking a beer, get another one, glass of wine. Or in my case, I'm just getting some water. But let's load you up with a little Clark Duke project again. Welcome back. That was the Clark Duke Project with their first album instrumental hit, Never Judge a Cover by Its Book. D. Bodie says, what's that, porn music? When's Barry White breaking into sing? Vito called it that, too. That's George Duke on keyboard and Stanley Clark on bass. I mean, those guys got after it, you know? Anyway... Welcome. I want to say thanks to T. Bodie for being in the chat room. He's the only one in there tonight, folks. He's got good stuff to say. You should be in there. Big Sister's on the phone, as is Hawkeye Mike. T. Bodie's on the phones as well. A couple numbers I don't recognize. And then Sue from New Mexico is in. Sue's the one who sent me the information today on Twitter about the changes in minor league. And like I said, I can talk about minor league because it doesn't violate my ban on major league. I support minor leaguers that are just trying to break in, you know. sometimes guys like Crash Davis and Bull Durham, who stay forever in the minor leagues, maybe get a cup of coffee, as they call it, in the pros. Those guys are working hard and they're trying, you know. They want to make a career out of it. And more on C.J. Frederick. Like Hawkeye Mike said, this really looks – something looks fishy there. You know, there had been talk on Kentucky message boards and in Kentucky media on Facebook and stuff like that, and talking about how they needed a three-point shooter, and Joe Frederick saying help is on the way. I mean, it's not too cryptic, you know. That's C.J. Frederick's uncle. I think, frankly, if he didn't want to be at Iowa, fine. He was a starter. I don't get it. People don't. It apparently took his teammates and coaches by surprise. He had talked about the fact he would be there next year, and then he dropped that bomb. So, whatever. I mean, it's his loss, so to speak. So let's get to some other stuff, some poly sports stuff, if you will. Okay, so Dopey Joe had a Zoom call with some leaders from Japan and South Korea with a mask. He was wearing a mask during a Zoom call. Well, anyway, one of the things they discussed was the Olympics. Now, remember, there will be no spectators at the Olympics. There will be no personal assistants. Coaches and stuff, yes, but personal coaches, family members, no. All for safety's sake. This is how I figure that discussion going. Now, first of all, I can see Dopey Joe, what are they? They're still using the sawdust for the high jump. And when I high jump against Corn Pop, I want Corn Pop to have sawdust. I jump on air, but Corn Pop's a bad dude. I mean, what is he doing wearing – discussing the Olympics, first of all. It's Tokyo's Olympics. Now, if they're discussing security or even COVID, that's Tokyo's baby. Not yours. He just can't keep his mouth shut. But he what an idiot. Wearing a mask during a Zoom call. LeJuan would have done it, though, too. Stephen A. Smith or someone like that would do it, thinking they're really, you know. Okay, on to a little rant here. Mike Huckabee wrote an awesome editorial, op-ed, if you will. Now, it appeared in the Western Journal. I'm not sure if that's who he wrote it for originally, but that's where I picked it up. So I'm going to read it here because it's excellent. He says, I haven't written much about the racist attacks from the left on my friend Senator Tim Scott for his terrific speech in response to President Biden's address to Congress. You can tell how terrified leftists are of his positive message that America isn't a racist nation by the fact that they're trying to prove how racist it is by acting like a bunch of revolting racists. I didn't comment on Joy Behar or Jimmy Kimmel, both of whom have appeared in blackface in the past, but they're liberals, so it's okay. Giving jaw-dropping illustrations of condescending rich white liberals lecturing a black man from the South that he just doesn't understand racism the way they do. That's because I expect them to say dumb things for the same reason that I expect a duck to quack. And naturally, I expect Al Sharpton to furiously denounce Senator Scott for promoting unity and defending America. Al Sharpton needs Americans to be divided by racial distrust for the same reason that Bill Gates needs everyone to have a computer. It's his livelihood. The main reason I haven't commented on this is that it would require me to quote some of the nasty, racist things coming out of the mouths of these people, which are not only insulting to my friend and a great American, but they also personally disgust me. I don't want to repeat those comments or give them any attention. However, as the pundit Banshee at Red State points out, by not shining a spotlight on them, I'm inadvertently playing along with the liberal media, who are also ignoring those stories, but for a very different reason. to protect Democrats by keeping the public from knowing about their truly offensive comments. As Bonci notes, these outlets will go ballistic over some college kid innocently making the okay finger gesture, but ignore actual Democrat officials using vile racist slurs. Here's another example of how they'll amplify an absurd charge of white supremacy by an innocent person while ignoring those in their own midst who are spewing racist fire hose. So here's what I'm going to do. I just told you about these reprehensible comments and the lack of accountability for them, but I refuse to quote them. Instead, I will link to Bonci's article. If you want the ugly details of who and what, go there. Then you'll know exactly what they said when you hear them lecture us about accountability after not being held accountable themselves. Speaking of vile anti-racist leftists, if you haven't seen this video yet, prepare to feel your blood boiling. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you. A Latino Los Angeles deputy sheriff pulled over a driver for using her cell phone while driving. His body camera recorded her proudly declaring that she's a teacher and then calling him a murderer and a Mexican. She rants, "You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that?" Fox News national correspondent Bill Malugan identified the driver but didn't reveal her identity. He did confirm that she has worked as a professor at LA area schools and has a history of making false complaints against deputies. Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva said, "We now have people believing or people labeling every cop as a murderer because of incidents like Derek Chauvin, but this shows that bigotry and racism come in all colors and ages." He added, "She claims to be a teacher. I'm not so sure what she is teaching. But if she represents her profession, is that indictment on her profession and the caliber of people?" No, I'm sure she would argue that you can't assume all teachers are arrogant, lying bigots just because one of them is. After all, if you judge an entire group of people by the actions of just one, you can't call yourself a progressive, can you? Because that's what racists do. So look that up in the Western Journal, Mike Huckabee. Excellent, excellent op-ed pointing out the disgusting, vile crap from some of these people on the left after Tim Scott's very well put, very briefly. I mean, it was concise. He didn't ramble on. He's just very concise in his response. Okay, I'm going to talk about a future feature I want to do here on the show. Okay, America is built on small and independent businesses. Always has been. 74% of the nation's employers are small and independent businesses. Now look, the COVID pandemic derailed many. It shut many of them down. It helped large and big box retailers and even spawned some businesses. Think about it. Restaurants and bars were hurt, non-essential retail, in-home services. For instance, a dog groomer where I live, dog groomers were not allowed to go into homes to do services. Essential, though, like retail, building and hardware, big box stores, Amazon, they were all essential. Abortion clinics were essential. But look, people lost jobs. People started new careers, service-based businesses, web-based businesses, whatever. So yeah, businesses have been hit by the pandemic. Political correctness or the BLM, Antifa looting and rioting, or again, by government mandate. And still others have fought back and taken their own stand. Look, every couple months, what I'm going to do, every couple months, I'm going to dedicate a show featuring businesses across the country. I'm just going to talk to them like I talk to any of them, like when I talk to Jim Hoft or to my friend Rich or Steve Dace or John Lofgren or Felicia Goodson. Just that kind of an interview format, but talking about their businesses, independent businesses, small businesses. I want to talk about their challenges, maybe how they survived the pandemic, how they adapted, how it motivated them to start a new business maybe in the face of the uncertainty that the pandemic caused. So I want your help. If you know of a business that fits this mold, I want to hear about it. I want them to tell us their stories. I want all of us to get back to supporting our friends and our neighbors who are taking the chance, making the investment in business. Because, you know, we need to impress on our elected leaders that it was people that built this country. It was people that have fought our wars. It was people that make the day-to-day sacrifices to keep this country going, in spite of self-serving leaders, in spite of willful subterfuge and sabotage, in spite of bureaucratic incompetence. Look, I keep saying we need to take this country back. And frankly, rather than spending all our money hoping Amazon or Microsoft or Walmart or Home Depot will make things better, let's keep our money in our communities, within our networks, within our circle of friends. Look, I'm not saying don't shop at Amazon ever or don't shop at Walmart. I do that. I always will. There's Vito who is here. Welcome, Vito, and Banjo 80 to the chat room. As Vito points out, it was America who was founded upon capitalism and free enterprise. So, yeah, let's get – remember my email address. I'm going to give it out right now. hjpsports1980@gmail.com. hjpsports1980@gmail.com. That was Mrs. Hank. You heard in the background asking me to do that. Or hit me up on Twitter if you want. You can send a direct message or just hit me and say, hey, at hjpsports or at hpolysports. I got an idea for you. Like I said, I want small business. Even, you know, a Jim Hoff qualifies. He's an independent business. I'm not sure he's quote-unquote small, but he's an independent business. He's not a big public company. So when he talked about when he took Facebook hits, that affected their traffic because they're a revenue-driven or a ad-driven revenue. So I want to talk to people like that. I want to talk about people like T. Bodie. T. Bodie, you know, he was in an industry, or it still is, so to speak, where working shows, concerts, gone for the longest time, folks. He had no way to go out and earn a living doing that. You know, I have friends that were in retail that were closed down for a while, as I said. Somebody that ran a small gym, you know, an independent gym, closed down. People that had to close, you know, medical offices, dental offices, because of these kinds of things, for a little while anyway. So I want to talk to those people. So I want you to send me those people. Now, like I said, shoot me an email, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. Message me on Facebook on the Hank Jones Polysports page or tweet me via @hpolysports. The first feature I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it Wednesday, June 2nd. So we've got 4 weeks. And then from thereafter, the first Wednesday in the last month of each quarter. And I know it sounds stupid, but basically next year it'll be March, but this year it'll be June, and then it'll be September, and then it'll be December. Each of those months, the first Wednesday, I'm going to feature businesses. I'd like to feature two to three businesses each show. That gives them a half hour or more. If I have four, that's a half hour and a two-hour show to talk to them. Let's hear from the people who really make America great. So shoot me those names, shoot me those companies. You know, I want to talk to the guy from Cincinnati, for instance, Lenny's Pub, who said no more until LeBron, a.k.a. LaJuan, is banned from the league. Horrendous tweet threatening a police officer. I want to talk to businesses in Atlanta, a community that is taking a $100 million to $150 million hit because a certain major baseball league moved its mid-season event due to election policy of its legislature. Needed election policy, by the way. Whether you agree with it or not, it was needed. I mean, it wasn't about taking away the vote. It was about tightening the election validity, the credibility of our elections. But I'd like to hear from people in Atlanta. What's that going to do? You know, how many people who are finally able to reopen their sports bar, as an example, or their restaurant, how many were counting on that All-Star game? Big economic hit. You know, that's a game that's usually on a Tuesday or Wednesday. So the people start coming in on Friday, Saturday, and start leaving the next Friday, Saturday, that's gone for those people. That's gone. I want to hear from people in places like Hawaii, where some places, some industries still are not back. Some places where restaurants cannot be open, even in private like condominium buildings, they can be open, but not to outside people, only people that live there. Can you imagine that? Think of hotels that make their money on outside, you know, dining. Think about places where restaurants are still at 50% capacity. Think about places where they reinstitute these bans. How do they cope? But let's talk to people that have adapted as well. It's not all, you know, gloom and doom. It's not all woe is me. Some people have adapted quite well. And as T. Bodie points out, there are a lot of people that have flourished, a lot of businesses that have flourished. Now, mainly, it's been the Amazons and the Home Depots and the Walmarts. They did great. Gas stations, you know, they did great. Wawa, Racetrack, Sam's Club Gas, whoever, they did great. And then there have been some with, you know, people working from home, as T. Bodie points out. Some have saved, you know. But you know what? What's the commercial real estate market? What's going to happen to that? It's going to take a hit. So, yeah, there are going to be people that lose jobs. Small businesses did get killed. So I want to hear from them. I want to talk to them. Want them to tell their story. It's not just about me telling the story. Okay, finally, let's get to today's Laffy. Couch on Twitter, he asks, if we raise minimum wage to $15 per hour or $2,400 per month, what do we tell seniors on Social Security who get less than $2,000 a month? That someone who has little to no experience needs to make more so that they continue to pay seniors less? Exactly. Donald Trump Jr. tweeted, China and North Korea are laughing their asses off watching the CIA go full woke. Cisgender, intersectional. It's like the Babylon Bee is handling the CIA's communications. If you think about it, wokeness is the kind of twisted psyop a spy agency would invent to destroy a country from the inside out. Emma Green wrote a story about liberals who can't or won't leave lockdowns. And for once, Megan McCringe had a cogent and relevant answer. She said, I've been saying this the entire time. There's a segment of our population who want to continue living like this, and it's bizarre and macabre. Except it's not necessarily relevant or cogent when you consider that Megan McCringe hoisted, so to speak, numerous criticisms on President Trump for his handling of COVID-19, including during the election campaign, by the way. Never mind the fact her husband, not McCringe herself, but her husband now claims that Megan McCringe voted for Trump. Okay, pretending that's true, and I'll parrot Homer Simpson here, which it isn't, that would no doubt piss off Dopey Joe's second biggest cheerleader, Mommy McCringe. Dopey Joe wants people to continue to follow CCD guidelines. Hey, the dude is a Catholic, remember? Sorry. To any of you who weren't born before about 1995, you don't know what the hell CCD is. I'll tell you, it relates to the Catholic Church, the classes that kids took, their CCD classes. I guess you could equate it to confirmation classes, catechism classes. Vito knows, by the way, because he laughed at it at the tweet posting the gaffe. But yes, he wants us to follow CCD guidelines. As has been pointed out elsewhere, as I point out, Dopey Joe wore a mask for a Zoom call with world leaders. They weren't within 6 light years of him, let alone 6 feet. Here's the good part, though. Dopey Joe did not wear a mask when he went and met with the Carters, i.e., 96-year-old former President Jimmy and 93-year-old former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Way to go, Dopey Joe. The most vulnerable category, and you didn't wear a mask meeting with them. And finally, I got this gem from Lance Gooden. This is off Twitter. Lance Gooden, who goes by at Lance Gooden, very original, Lance. He says, homicides are up 41% in Washington, D.C. But thank God Mayor Bowser band dancing at weddings. It does get better than that. It really doesn't. It just does not. I'm just going to read some chat room stuff. Vito's point out, we tell seniors they won't be taxed anymore if they make under $400,000 a year. Tebow laughs, exactly. He's going to change all his W-2s to 9 or 10 exemptions going forward, which is perfect. That's the way to do it, by the way. Presumably, if you can make sure you can pay your taxes at the end of the year. But anyway, so yeah, like I said, I got something going on tonight. Me and Mrs. Hank got an event, if you will. So that's why we only went for 60 minutes tonight. But like I said, the small businesses and the independent businesses I want to feature, be thinking about that. I'll remind on that in the next couple of weeks. But again, shoot me an email, shoot me a tweet. I would like to talk to small businesses around the country. Be great stuff. It really would. So, hey, y'all have a great week. Have a great weekend. Stay safe out there. And I don't just mean from COVID-19. Stay safe. There are crazy people out there these days. Some of them are elected officials. Don't watch baseball if you can help it. Do get ready for college football coming up in a mere 4 months. And, hey, have fun. Spring is here. Summer's coming. So, hey, things are supposed to be looking up. Hey, by July 4th, we might even be able to meet with our families. You never know. So, hey, be safe, folks. Have a great one. Good night. And later on. Good night, folks. Have a good one.